This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
If you're a tennis fan, you'll love Betting Weekly Game Bet Match on the BetRivers Network. Whether you're a bettor or just love tennis, you'll enjoy the in-depth analysis each week of the tennis calendar. Subscribe to Game Bet Match today from your favorite podcast provider. You're listening to Betting Weekly La Liga on the BetRivers Network.
Well, hello and welcome to the Betting Weekly La Liga podcast brought to you in association with BetRivers, your hometown sports book. You're with Dan Roebuck alongside me, Alan Feely, editor of Football España, and Rory Barlow, also football writer at Football España and La Liga Lowdown. If you are level staking with us, small loss on last week, just over a unit down. We are honest and transparent, as we will be throughout the season. Many don't give you their P&L as they go along. We will do. We're going to kick off by talking about the champions. Rory, you're first up with this one. It's Real Madrid away at Celta Vigo. Celta plus 360. Madrid minus 143. Draw 340. I read a lot about the Real Madrid Almeria game and how plucky Almeria were, how well they did. There's a nice story behind them. But ultimately, when I looked at some of the numbers here, Real Madrid, 3.37, their expected goals number, highest of any team in La Liga last weekend. They should have, looking at the stats, they should have won easier than that. Did you see it that way last week?
Yeah, probably. I think Real Madrid's, in contrast to sort of other teams when they go behind, Real Madrid's are just in such a moment of confidence that they don't worry, no doubt enters their mind. And so even though they were losing at the weekend, there was a period of sort of 60, 70 minutes until they got in front where they were just pressing and pushing. But it was so consistent and so confident in that what they were doing was going to reap rewards that there was just, it almost seemed inevitable that they would come back. And so I think when you have a team that's in that kind of moment, in that kind of sweet sort of spot in their mindset, as much as kind of their play, that really sort of gives you confidence to kind of back these teams. And I think against Celta, they're going to be playing a team that's in flux. They had a 2-2 draw at the weekend against Espanyol, another team that's also sort of in transition. And so altogether, I have to say, you look at Real Madrid, who are so confident and so certain of themselves right now. You look at Celta, who are going through a period of reconstruction and they're trying to hit on the right formula for this season. And it's just a no-brainer for me.
So we're looking at overs here. 16 of the last 18 meters have been over 2.5 goals. Alan, what's your thoughts on this one? Do you go along with Rory looking at goals in this game?
Yeah, I agree with him. I think that, you know, Celta shipped 2 goals against Espanyol on the opening day of the season. If you look at Madrid, they went into the Almeria game with a couple of rotations, you know, starting Antonio Rudiger instead of, you know, Eder Militao and David Alaba. Also starting Aurelien Tchouaméni and Eduardo Camavinga instead of the usual midfield 3 pairing of Toni Kroos, Casemiro and Luka Modric. Only Kroos started in that game. And also they came into that game having played in Finland on the Wednesday night when they beat Eintracht Frankfurt in the European Super Cup final. So they had a bit of traveling in their legs and that kind of thing. Whereas this week they have a full whole, you know, 7-day period to prepare for it. They have the positive energy of coming in off opening day victory, while Barcelona, as we'll touch on later, failed to get 3 points on the board against Rayo Vallecano. So I would fancy them to do quite well. I think that, you know, Vinicius would be in confidence, the likes of Rodrigo and Marco Asensio, even though he didn't feature in the opening day at all, Ireland's Super Cup final, might add, will be keen to show what they can do. And I think that the midfield 3, whoever it is, I'm not sure how they'll be structured, will be keen to do well as well, because I think that, as Rory mentioned, the way they played and Sunday evening down in Andalusia was very impressive, the way they came back. And also the kind of, you know, clutch moments they showed when David Alaba coming on, scoring a free kick with his first touch. It was more of the same from what we saw last season. So I think what they've proven so far in this season, in the two games they played in Europe and at home, is that while Barca are still a very alluring prospect for the title race this year, Madrid aren't going to going anywhere. And they're maintaining the same mentality they had last year, which is a pretty formidable one.
Rory, you've got -155 over 2.5 goals. I mean, do you see Celta Vigo contributing to that tally? Could bettors maybe look at just total goals by Real Madrid here? And if you go over there, you're suddenly +205. It's a lot bigger price. Do you see Celta contributing? Is that an angle here? That's why you just think it's a safer bet maybe to go over 2.5 for the match?
I'll give you two words, Iago and Aspas. I mean, he's become a bit of a joke in England, but he has been one of the finest players in Spain for the last 5-6 years and is a consistent threat, a consistent goal scorer. He also turns up in the big games at Balaidos very often. And so we're in another situation where Aspas is likely to be the main threat. Last weekend, they scored twice and Aspas scored from an impossible angle. And I think against Real Madrid, he'll want to do well in front of his home fans. I think Real Madrid as well, if you go over 2.5 goals and Real Madrid to win, that's +148. So if you're looking for sort of a more positive return on what you're going to get. And that would be my sort of backing, but I am almost certain that it will be kind of over 2.5 goals, just because I think Real Madrid will, they're going to press high again. And you saw with Antonio Rudiger that there are some sort of teething problems with that system. Last season, they kind of dropped off a bit more and they played it a little bit safer just because I think Ancelotti didn't see the squad depth or the fitness there to be pressing high every week. This season, they've totally changed that. They've decided they're going pressing high. They're going to dominate every game. And I think early on in the season, and that can lead to sort of a few issues. I think Aspas will want to exploit that. But overall, Real Madrid, I think, will probably be good for at least two goals. And so if you add that threat, Real Madrid maybe run away with it. Celta maybe get a goal. And then you have your three goals.
Aspas +700 to get first, +235 to score at any time. Let's move on to title rivals Barcelona. They are away at La Real, +235 for the home side, +114 for Barcelona, +270 the draw, over and under here, over -134, under +108. Raya had to dig in against Barca. Obviously, new look, the players were registered in time. What were the press saying here, first of all, about Barcelona's draw? Is the pressure mounting already after match day one? What's the story?
No, I think there's a realization that it could actually be a good thing, because if they had won that game in a swashbuckling manner and put two or three past Rayo, got the Camp Nou on their feet for the entire game, expectations would be set astronomically high. Whereas I think that game, that 0-0 draw, was quite a realistic kind of a splash of cold water, you could say, and a reality check, because this is a new team. There are a lot of players here to be gelled, and it's going to take time for them to hit a really consistent and impressive level. And a lot of comparisons in Catalonia, at least, were drawn between this team and Guardiola's team when he inherited it in 2008. He drew his first two games. I think he lost his first game against Numancia, right, Rory? And then he drew the second game, and then he turns around on the third, and then they went on a, obviously, that remarkable run that ended with them winning the treble that season. So I think that's the kind of perception. But as often in Spain, it's coloured on which sign of the divide you're on, basically. I mean, if you're of a Madrid persuasion, then this is, suit revenge. This is them talking nonsense all summer, getting caught up in their own smoke and then failing to deliver when it matters. If you're of a Barcelona persuasion, there might be some nerves creeping in, but overall, you're kind of saying, okay, let's give it time. I think that there's so much credit in the bank, given the way the club have conducted themselves footballing-wise this summer, bringing the players they have, having Xavi there, giving him the players that he wants. I think that there's enough there for the fans to, buy time with him, because Xavi, being who he is, has a certain cachet and a certain credit in the bank that the likes of Ronald Koeman can never have. So I think that it's important to get back to winning ways soon, for sure, and show signs of improvement. But I think it's not panic stations just yet at all.
Alan, what's the tip then? What are we like in this game?
I fancy Barcelona to win. I think they'll win by over 2.5 goals. It's a second part is a pretty bold bet, maybe a bit of a risk, but I think that it's worth taking, because I think Real Sociedad are going to approach the game in a different way to Rayo Vallecano. First of all, they're at home at Anoeta, playing in front of their own fans. They're going to go at Barcelona and attack them and try and, you know, play them at their own game. They're not going to sit back and defend deep like Rayo did last weekend. I think that's going to give Barcelona more space, more time to operate. I think Barcelona have less pressure going into the game. I think that their fans would countenance a draw, even if they wouldn't be overly delighted with it, because La Real are one of the strongest teams in La Liga and they typically start the season very well. They're a good footballing team. But I think that the way they play will give Barcelona spaces. I think the players will have another week together of training. And I think that Xavi will have worked on some of the kinks that presented themselves in the Rayo game. Most notably, who will start in that front three, whether it will be both Rafinha and Ousmane Dembele again, with Lewandowski in the middle, that was some other alteration. So, yeah, I think it's the best bet for me, to be honest with you.
Barcelona won the last five meetings between these two. Rory Lever did score, but offside last weekend. We're taking him to get his first La Liga goal this weekend.
Yeah, I do think he'll score this weekend. I think he looks the sharpest out of any of Barcelona's new signings, and he's plus 114 to score in this game anytime, which I think is not bad odds at all. And for Barcelona, I think I stayed away from this just because I think La Real, they have forced Barcelona to struggle, but yeah, that approach will be key, because I think Rayo Vallecano almost gave Real Sociedad a blueprint of how they should approach this match. But if you look at the previous meeting between these two, Barcelona won the match, but Real Sociedad dominated it. They should have got at least sort of a point. They missed a lot of chances and dominated the game, but this will be a better Barcelona that they're facing at Anoeta. And I think if they do try and dominate, as Alan says, then there'll be more spaces for Barcelona. I think just while there was enough kinks in this match, in the Rayo Vallecano game, which made me doubt how quickly things are going to come together for Barcelona. I think the lack of Pedri and Gavi in midfield was an issue. Sergio Busquets will be missing for this match. Miralem Pjanic should probably come in his place. So I think if we see De Jong from the start, that could be sort of a big boost for them, but controversial given the club's stance on him this summer. And so, yeah, I think this will be an absolutely terrific game. I'd advise the listeners and watchers to actually tune into it if they can, because I think it will be a fantastic watch regardless of the results one way or another.
Should be a good one. We're looking for goals. We're looking for Lever to score and Barcelona to win. Ultimately, let's move on to Sevilla Valladolid. This is the late game on Friday locally. Disappointing, Rory, to see Sevilla lose on match day one, but you're expecting a turnaround with this one.
I am indeed. And as much for Sevilla having a turnaround, I think it could be because of Valladolid. Sevilla have brought in Tongi Nianzu, who's come in from Bayern Munich. And I can't say that I knew masses about him before, but reading a lot about him, he seems a very confident player. He seems very, very strong athletically, very good on the ball. I think if he comes in and starts well for the first 10, 20 minutes and provides that confidence to the Sevilla defence, I think that could really course through the team. The idea that they've got a new kind of star in the making here and somebody that's going to push this team forward. And then on the other sort of flip side of that, Gonzalo Plata, who's Valladolid's kind of second main threat, and Sean Weissman both were training individually today. So they're probably doubtful to at least start, if even make the bench. And so Sevilla, as much as they had defensive issues against Osasuna, I expect Valladolid to be far blunter than Osasuna in this match. And I expect Sevilla at home Friday night in the heat, I think they'll whip themselves up into a frenzy. And I think that will be enough to get them at least one goal, if not two.
-175 if you're backing Sevilla to win this one. Rory was rightly against Valladolid last weekend. That was a winning tip. We expect another one here. Mallorca, Real, Betis, Alan, you're tackling this one. You were against Mallorca last week. They perhaps should have lost it in Bilbao. Athletic Club registered 23 attempts on goal. You're a bit unlucky, but you are against Mallorca again this weekend against Real Betis, Alan.
Yeah, I'm backing Real Betis. I think that Athletic Club's biggest fault is their lack of proficiency in front of goal. They can't put away the chances they create because they don't have a proper striker. And their Bascone policy restricts them in terms of who they can bring in, so they can't necessarily go and address needs they have in the market because it's dependent on, you know, the players that are available to them. But Betis contrasts significantly in this regard because Betis, you know, they won their opening game 3-0 against Elche, the Benito Villamarine. I've spent a lot of time there over the last season. It's an amazing place and it's an amazing football club. And they're playing with serious confidence right now. They have players like Juan Mi, like Borja Iglesias, who are just full of confidence. They're full of goals as well. And coming up against the Mallorca team, who I've been unimpressed by since they came up last season, even though it's in Mallorca, I would back them to win the game and win well. Because like I mentioned, you know, in the previous podcast we've done this season, the way they play is very well balanced. You know, they play not quite champagne football, but it's defensively organized. And at the same time, it's, you know, very conducive to good attacking play. They're very easy in the eye. And there's just a good mood at the club. And I think in football, momentum is so valuable. Like there was one moment in the game against Elche where the ball came down from the sky and Manuel Pellegrini plucked it out of the sky with his foot and killed it completely on the ground. And the bench behind him were all laughing and applauding him. Like that's just an indication of the kind of low pressure and high expectation and enthusiasm at the club right now. And I think that that, coupled with their on-field talents, coupled with Mallorca's lack of defensive solidity and lack of general quality, will mean that Betis will win, and they'll win by over 2.5 goals, in my opinion.
Okay, so we're looking for goals and Betis to win this one. Let's move on to Athletic Club against Valencia. Sunday, tea time locally. Valencia did win last week. Athletic Club, who we've just been talking about, Rory, may be a little unlucky not to beat Mallorca. You don't expect Valencia to do well, so much so that you don't think they're going to score here. You've gone Valencia under 0.5 goals. That's an Athletic clean sheet. You can get with that various different ways. Just explain your reasoning behind this one, Rory.
Yeah, it was plus 128 when I was looking. And I think similarly to the way that Valladolid are missing an attacking threat, if you look at Valencia, they have Hugo Duro up front, who's a useful striker. He's a good striker, but I don't think up front on his own as that kind of focal point. I don't think he's necessarily the man for Valencia. I think he's better with a striker alongside him or from the wing. They then have Samuel Lino and Samuel Castillejo, who are decent wingers, but I don't see them causing a lot of problems. And if you look at what Gennaro Gattuso was trying to do, he's trying to implement a different style of play. He's trying to get on the ball a lot more. And I think that will benefit Athletic a lot. I think Athletic are a more powerful team in general. And apart from their own goal scoring issues, they will dominate the game, so to speak, against Valencia. And so I just don't really see that they have many outlets to trouble Athletic Club with. I mean, Mallorca last week had two shots on goal and Unai Simón came up with a magnificent save for one of them. But in general, I think this Valencia it's the same as it was last season, but without Gonçalo Guedes, who was the key man for them. He's now moved to Wolves and he was, I'd say, about 40 to 50% of their attacking threat. And so without him, without many reinforcements against one of the better defensive sides in the league, I think, yeah, that's why I'm back in under 0.5 goals for Valencia.
It's interesting, actually, just looking at the first goal scorer market, we're talking 10 to 1 plus 1,000 thereabouts for the favourite when it comes to the Valencia scorer. I guess it just gives us an indication that the market makers not quite sure who might be the main threat, and also however that main threat might be is not really expected to score, because in a game like this you would always think it would be single figures, but it's not. So it's an interesting one. Valencia failed to score three of the last seven away as well, so we like no goals for Valencia effectively. Fair price as well, as Rory points out. Atletico Madrid against Villarreal for you, Alan, here. And a lot of bettors over the years will always look at unders when it comes to Atleti. And this is the way potentially that we're going to go here. But you like them to beat Villarreal as well, which I don't know if that's a bit of a surprise. They are favourites here at minus 115 with Villarreal plus 335. But they were good winners last week. And we know that Unai Emery can be effective with his team in sort of one-off games, if you like, plus 265. The draw, talk us through this one.
Well, I think that Historically, yeah, unders is good for Atletico, but that's not reflective of this current team in many ways, because they play a much more progressive and open and attacking style of football than, you know, Cholismo is generally associated with. Okay, maybe not against Man City in the quarterfinals of the Champions League, but in La Liga, for sure, they are playing a different kind of football. I was at this game on Monday night against Getafe in the Coliseum. Very, very impressive performance from Atletico. They won 3-0, obviously. João Felix was at the heart of everything good. Álvaro Morato had his shooting boots on. Griezmann, too, came on and scored a goal, which he didn't do that often last season. So it was a very positive performance for them. They integrated the new signings well. Now, while Molina started right back, Axel Witsel started in centre back. And they looked like a really high-functioning, strong, competent, and dangerous team against Getafe, who, under Quique Sanchez-Flores, especially the business they've done this summer, are not a bad team themselves. So it was very impressive to go there, to go to their stadium and win that game in that fashion, especially given the discontent and noise around the club over the summer. So basically, I'm backing them to win this game. As you mentioned, unders for Atletico. But I think they win because I think that while they're not going to follow up a 3-0 opening day victory against Getafe with a convincing, you know, over 2.5 goal win against Villarreal, Villarreal are a competent team who won their own first game in the season quite well as well, and they're looking good this season too. But I think that Atletico do have too much quality for them. I think at the Wanda Metropolitano as well, it's a very intimidating, very raucous place, and I'm sure that their fans will welcome the team beginning their new season at home with, you know, sorry, the Civitas Metropolitano. They renamed the stadium this summer. But I think it's going to be a very intimidating atmosphere, a very impressive game, and I would back Atletico to win, although not by a huge margin.
So we're not looking for too many goals, but we think Atleti will go in. They have been backed, incidentally, over the last 24 hours. We're recording on Thursday morning, so watch the price on the BetRivers website for that. -109 into -115 last time that I looked, and unders, if you want to just play unders on the game, -139. Just a brief chat on the title situation after match day one. There's always reactions from market makers. There has to be, because points are on the board. But plus 100 title favourites now, Real Madrid. I think they were joint favourites when we were talking about for our season preview. And the season preview is still available on the BetRivers YouTube website. So if you want to go back and look at that, I'm presuming all the bets still stand after match day one. We're not deserting our anti-post picks just yet. Now, you two both like Barcelona. No reason to panic for Barca backers?
Yeah, to be honest, I think if you scrap your bets or your sort of assumptions after the first match day, then they weren't worth much in the first place. I think Real Madrid were bound to start the season better than Barcelona just because of the continuity that they have, the fact that the club has been very settled. As we were saying, there's only two signings there, so there's not much to change, and neither of those signings necessarily come into the starting 11, although Rudiger might eventually. And so yeah, I think Real Madrid have a lot of continuity. They're bound to be better in the early stages of this season, but over the course of it, I expect them to come into bigger issues, whereas Barcelona are the opposite of that. You saw Alan was talking about momentum, and I subscribe to that theory that momentum is big, and I think Barcelona will build up to get sort of ahead of steam and eventually come out on top still.
And yeah, I agree. I think that, you know, football is a funny game, but it's also a long game. It's going to be a 10-month season, a very unusual season too with the World Cup. As we discussed, you know, it's going to break up the momentum very much so in the middle of the season. I think that just there's so much of the transfer window left to go, you know, just under 2 weeks left, and there's so many unanswered questions. Will Frank Ibe staying at Barcelona? Will Bernardo Silva join Barcelona? Will Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang and Memphis Depay stay at Barcelona? Will Casemiro still be at Real Madrid? Will Real Madrid sell Casemiro and use the money they get from him to sign a backup striker to Karim Benzema, our right-sided attacker? Will Marco Asensio still be there? There's still so many unanswered questions regarding the squad planification, you could say, that it's difficult to make a concrete, you know, decision on how the season has begun for either team. As Rory mentioned, obviously Madrid are going to be a strong unit. I think anybody who thought otherwise would be a fool this season. I think they're going to be very strong and very competitive, and they have the clutch mentality like anybody else in European football. But I think that once Barcelona get the wind in their sails, get a bit of confidence behind them, get a bit of games into them, figure out how to structure their attack and their midfield and their defense, they're going to be a force to be reckoned with for sure. And once Lewandowski starts scoring, he's not going to stop. So I still back Barcelona for the title. That they're who I think is going to win the season. But the good thing is that we have a serious title race in our hands, because as well as Real Madrid, the way Atletico started the season, they could be within a shout too. So let's see what happens. But I'm not going to abandon my takes just yet.
Okay, good. And just very finally, because we're running out of time, Osasuna are fourth. Are they going to stay there or not? Do we see any? Is there any word when it comes to top four or anything else that you might want to mention after match week one?
I was actually going to come in on that because although I don't think Osasuna are going to stay fourth, they are plus 100 to beat Cadiz at home, which raised my eyebrow, I have to say, because I think Osasuna should definitely be strong favourites to get a result. I think Cadiz are probably the wrong team for them to be playing stylistically, in the fact that Cadiz will sit back, they won't come and seek out Osasuna. But based on the first match days, Osasuna looked far stronger, and Osasuna at home, if they can get that momentum going that they did against Sevilla, they're very hard to stop. It's a very vociferous atmosphere. And so yeah, I would back Osasuna to do pretty well in that game.
And yeah, I think top four race, I really like Osasuna. I think they're a very strong team. And as I already mentioned, El Sadar is one of the best places in La Liga to watch football. But I don't think they'll maintain that push for the whole season. I think they could be within a shout for the Europa League for sure, or the Conference League. I think that's what they could aspire to, and they should aspire to, because they have all the tools to do so. But I think that the top four, if it's not Sevilla or Betis or Villarreal or Real Sociedad, I would be very, very surprised.
We will watch with interest. We'll keep an eye on Osasuna this weekend. It's sort of an unofficial tip. That wraps it up. Alan, Rory, thanks for your company. Social media details as per usual. Rory, where can we find you?
At Rory Barlow on social media. We find all my work there.
Wonderful stuff, Alan.
And likewise at Azul Fili on Twitter, and also Football España on Twitter as well.
Yeah, make sure you're across all the work that the boys do on Football España, all the latest stories, of course. You can keep up to date with that. Wraps up this week's La Liga podcast. As we mentioned previously, the Futures podcast is still up. We're not abandoning any of our selections just yet, but of course, we'll be talking about the anti-post throughout the season as well. Next week, it'll be week three of the new season. Make sure you're with us for that. And across all of the Bet Rivers content, I hope that Liga and the rest of our stable of podcasts give us a mention, because we give them a mention every single week. So let's just hope that, you know, they reciprocate. Anyway, the content you can find, you can stay across it all at Because We Win. Have a good weekend. Hopefully it will be a profitable one. We'll see you then.
Thanks for listening to Betting Weekly La Liga on the Bet Rivers Network.